As we have done each week during this current sermon series, I want to invite you to stand with me and pray this doxology from Ephesians chapter 3, verses 20 and 21. This is the doxology that Paul includes in his writing to the Ephesian church. Would you pray with me? Now to him who by the power at work within us is able to accomplish abundantly far more than all we can ask or imagine, to him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus to all generations forever and ever. Amen. Go ahead and have a seat. We've been preaching a theme called God is Able, So We Can. We've been looking at God's ability, the ability that we just prayed about in that doxology. He's able to do, accomplish abundantly more than all we could ever ask or imagine. And because God is able, we've looked at a sermon called God is Able, and we can give God glory, meaning that we give him all the credit, the glory. We don't have to clamor for attention or accolades or the credit. We just give that all to glory. That's a freeing principle that we don't have to do things so that we can receive any notability or credit. It all goes to God. We give God glory. Because God is able, we can do big things, even though we may be a small church or small in terms of size and finances or monetary resources. We can still do big things because God is able. God is able, so we can give more. We have demonstrated over and over again. Joel just got up and gave a report of a special contribution where our generosity is going to bless someone in need. We can even give more because God is able. He's the supplier of all of our needs. We can walk together, something that I am passionate about, that we come together and walk together and work together and live together and do ministry together and worship together and serve together because God is able to make us stand. Our lives are not judged or lived by our constant judging of one another on different opinions on this and opinions on that. We can have our opinions. We can hold fast or our opinions. But even with those different opinions and different set of ideals, we can walk together. We've seen it happen because God is able. God is able so we can do all things, no matter what our circumstances are, no matter what type of pandemic, endemic, whatever you fill in the blank, demic, whatever we're in, we can do all things because God is able. And church, I believe that because God is able, we can change the world. Because God is able, we can change the world. I want to direct your attention to the book of Acts. The book of Acts, chapter 2, starting at verse number 1. I want to read a few verses. We'll camp out in Acts chapter 2 and some various other places as we look at a text that is extremely important to our existence. This is the book of Acts, chapter 2, starting at verse number 1. When the day of Pentecost had come, they were all together in one place. And suddenly from heaven, there came a sound like the rush of a violent wind, and it filled the entire house where they were sitting. Divided tongues as a fire appeared among them, and a tongue rested on each of them. And all of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other languages as the Spirit gave them ability. Church, the ancient Jews knew how to celebrate and they knew how to party. They knew how to mark significant events and celebrate those days. I think this is wired into the human existence. We just celebrate a lot of things, particularly in the American culture, the American human experience. Does anyone know what today is? Here, throw me one of those. Let's see. Let's check out your throwing. Oh, my wife is good. Today is National Taffy Day. Did y'all know that? A lot of people knew today is National Taffy Day. And guess what? To celebrate National Taffy Day, in the back, I'll have a bag of saltwater taffy if you want a piece or two or three pieces of taffy, because I don't know if you can just eat one piece of taffy. I'm going to give you some taffy on National Taffy Day. There's a guy who created this idea that we should celebrate every day. And so every day, if you look on like Google, or just go to Google on when you wake up in the morning and just type in what day is today, you will get today is blank day. July 21st is my favorite. I know we have other holidays, Christmas and all those wimpy, but July 21st is National Junk Food Day. I can't wait for National Junk Food Day. I'm going to celebrate National Junk Food Day by eating all the junk food I can. In a few days, May 25th, it's going to be National Sing Out Day. National Sing Out Day. Apparently, you're supposed to like go outside or I don't know, in your shower and just belt out a song at the top of your voice. It's National Sing Out Day. Now, I'm just thinking about this as I'm up here preaching. This would be kind of cool. If you're interested, why don't you take a selfie of you singing on National Sing Out Day on May 25th and then like send it to me, and I'll create a video and I'll show it in church next week of it. So you got to get your good singing chops on National Sing Out Day. So I want to see some creativity. I want to see some group singing. I want to see you harmonizing, and I want you to video your neighbors looking at you crazy like, what are you doing? We are holiday-oriented people. We plan our vacations around holidays, but for the ancient Jews, special days held with them something even more special. They were holy days. That is to say that they were to be separated from normal days. They were days usually contained within a period, like a week. They would have a celebration, and within that week of celebration, there was that special day. The text that I just read telling us and indicating to us, reporting to us, that they were celebrating a special day that we call the Day of Pentecost. Pentecost, it means 50. The Day of Pentecost was also called the Festival of Weeks. It was a celebration that took place 7 weeks and a day after the Passover, so 49 days plus one, 50 days after the Passover. And at this festival, thousands of Jews gathered together and they brought offerings of their new harvest of grain. And in the book of Leviticus, you can go and read in chapter 23, and it talks all about what they were supposed to do for this festival of weeks, or the Day of Pentecost. The Israelites were given instructions. It was a celebration that brought together Jews from all over the region. And it was during this big festival that the Lord decided to usher in a new order, a new way, a new movement, a new direction for the world. From this point forward, Pentecost would cease being just a celebration of the harvest of grain. From now on, Pentecost would be inextricably linked to the Christian story and the Christian witness. The Day of Pentecost represents for the church a new birth, the birth of Christ's church, the birth of a community of God, a birth of the vehicle that would carry the forgiven, the redeemed, the saved, and the sanctified right into the arms of God. On this day in history, the celebration of the harvest of new grain takes a back seat to the new harvest of brand new participants in the grand story of God. On the day of Pentecost, the close followers of Jesus found themselves gathered in a room together. It was probably a tense time. It was probably a moment filled with anxiety and anticipation. What's next? They would ask each other. What's going to happen? When is it going to happen? He promised us some things. Like what's going to happen? You see, several days ago, while Jesus was on earth after he had resurrected from the grave. He spoke these words to his disciples. This is from Luke chapter 24, verse number 44. It says, "These are my words that I spoke to you while I was still with you, that everything written about me in the law of Moses and the prophets and the Psalms must be fulfilled." Then he opened their minds to understand the scriptures. And he said to them, "Thus it is written that the Messiah is to suffer and to rise from the dead on the third day." And get this, he says, "And that repentance and forgiveness of sins is to be proclaimed in his name to all nations, starting or beginning from Jerusalem. And you are witnesses of these things," he told them. And see, I am, now get this, "I am sending upon you what my Father promised. So stay here in the city until you have been clothed with power from on high." The end of the Gospel of Luke concludes with Jesus being taken up into heaven. Did he say something upon that immediate departure? The answer is yes. And the author of the Gospel of Luke, he wrote a follow-up volume to his gospel called the Book of Acts. We call it the Book of Acts. It's a part two of a two-volume work. And in Acts chapter 1 and verse number 6, this is what Luke writes in his sequel to the Gospel of Luke. So when they had come together, they asked him, and this is Jesus after he resurrected, he's still on earth before he goes back into heaven. They asked him, "Lord, is this the time when you will restore the kingdom to Israel?" He replied, "It is not for you to know the times or periods that the Father has set by his own authority." But he then says this, Jesus, "But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you. And you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, in all Judea and Samaria, and to the ends of the earth." And when he had said this, as they were watching, he was lifted up and a cloud took him out of their sight. What a remarkable scene. He's talking, he offers them these words, this promise, this power is going to come, just wait. And then right before their eyes, he was just taken away. Jesus gave orders as he departed, and his orders included waiting and staying put. Everyone in this room, I'm talking here at 1649 Graham Road, and those of you watching online, you all know what it means and how it feels to wait, because we are literally at wit's end waiting for a pandemic to be over, waiting for the mask mandates to end, waiting for restrictions to be lifted, waiting for the person who disagrees with me to finally come to their senses and agree with me. I'm tired of waiting. But waiting is the very thing Jesus told the disciples to do. Go to Jerusalem and wait. Wait for a power to come. Wait for a power, the power that I have been speaking of since I have been with you, to come down over you. It will overwhelm you. It will shock you. It will amaze you. It will comfort you. It will embolden you. It will do all the things I promise it would do. Remember, it was Jesus who said to his disciples, recorded in the Gospel of John chapter 15. Jesus says, "I have said these things to you while I am still with you. But the Advocate, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you everything and remind you of all that I have said to you." That's John 14, 25 and 26. He also says this, recording in John 15. He says, "When the Advocate," that's the Holy Spirit, "comes, whom I will send to you from the Father, the Spirit of truth who comes from the Father, he will testify on my behalf. You also are to testify because you have been with me from the beginning." The day of Pentecost was a day that this Jesus promise regarding the Holy Spirit would come to fruition. On that day, the power came in like a rushing wind, and tongues of fire were dispersed to the disciples. No small detail. Strong wind and fire have been used to describe the mighty acts of God all throughout Scripture. When you see fire and wind and earthquake, God is speaking. Now here, In a room with anxious and bewildered disciples, the Holy Spirit makes an entrance and makes an impression. The disciples begin to speak in other languages as the Spirit gave them ability. They didn't converse with one another. They found themselves amongst the crowds of those gathered for the Festival of Weeks. And they're talking, they're preaching, they're speaking, they're prophesying. Upon hearing these disciples preach and speak in other languages, the crowds deducing that these disciples were from, the ghetto. They were from the hood. They were from the unlearned parts of Judea, Galilee. Those listening begin to say, this can't be, they're from Galilee. In fact, they said, these jokers are drunk. You ever see someone acting crazy? And that's your response. Like, what have you been drinking? Or what have you been smoking? You're on some of that good stuff or that stuff that just drives you. They thought they were drunk or high. I'm adding the high part. Peter emerges as a chief spokesperson for the disciples who had been speaking these other languages or people were able to understand in their own languages. And Peter got up. He says, I need to say a word to these folks about this. I don't want them thinking that we're drunk or thinking that we're high. He stands up and he says, men of Judea and all who live in Jerusalem, let this be known to you and listen to what I say. Indeed, these men are not drunk as you suppose, for it is only 9 o'clock in the morning. It's too early to be drunk. No, this is what was spoken through the prophet Joel. In the last days it will be, God declares, that I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and daughters shall prophesy, and your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams. Even upon my slaves, both men and women, in those days I will pour out my spirit, and they shall prophesy. And I will show portents in the heavens above and signs on the earth below, blood and fire and smoky mist. The sun shall be turned to darkness and the moon to blood before the coming of the Lord, great and glorious day. Then everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. Peter uses scripture from the Old Testament, the Hebrew Bible, the prophet of Joel. Interestingly, the prophecy of Joel was first preached to describe impending doom to the ancient Jews. He probably offered this prophecy of doom, talking about Joel, in the city of Jerusalem, the capital of Judah in the Old Testament. And he talked about the destruction that was going to befall the nation because of their sins. And now, on the day of Pentecost, Peter stands in the same city where Joel stood. And he uses the same prophecy to speak on this new day where the Holy Spirit has been unleashed. And instead of doom, a new harvest of saved men and women rules the day, such that, Peter says, everyone who calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. And most of you know the rest of the story, but for those of you who don't, Peter continued to preach and connected the story, that prophecy, to the story of Jesus. He speaks of how Jesus was rejected by those who were in attendance, and he shared that this Jesus was the promised Messiah that they had all been waiting for, and that they killed him. Men and women were convicted by Peter's words, leading them to ask Peter, Acts chapter 2, verse number 37, brothers, what shall we do? And Peter, the anointed Holy Spirit indwelled apostle, says, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, so that your sins may be forgiven and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. For the promise is for you, those who were there, for your children, those who were connected to those who were there, and for all who are far away, everyone whom the Lord our God calls to him. That's us. Now recognize that the very words that Peter spoke are the very words spoken by Jesus when he commissioned them. He told them to preach repentance and forgiveness of sins. And recognize that the work of the Holy Spirit continued throughout that day. first descending on the disciples in the upper room, and now delivered to those who repented and were baptized into Jesus. Luke reports this in Acts chapter 2, verse number 41. So those who welcomed his message were baptized, and that day about 3,000 persons were added. Now, church, as I'm up here, sweaty as can be, allow me to make this key and powerful observation from the events of that first day of Pentecost, following the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus. On this day, some ordinary disciples from Galilee, a place not known for prominent figures or superior intellectual prowess, from Galilee, some ordinary people set in motion a movement that literally changed the world. During an event where people brought their first crop of sweet corn and wheat, God produced a harvest of Jesus followers who were possessed by the Holy Spirit. And this possession set in motion a series of events, narratives, and life-changing interactions that led to a growing church, a church that grew beyond the borders of Jerusalem. It started there, but would grow to other parts of Judea. It would spread outside of Judea to Samaria and other bordering regions. And then it would really take off, making its way to parts of Asia and Europe. And nearly 2,000 years later, this movement started by ordinary Galileans has found itself impacting regions all over the planet. The gospel is being preached in thousands of languages, to thousands of communities, to billions of people. What has transpired in the thousands of years since the day of Pentecost is nothing short of amazing and miraculous. There is no way to explain it except to say God is able and we can change the world. And why? Because God, who by the power at work within us, is able to accomplish abundantly far more than all we can ask or imagine. On the day of Pentecost, through the work of the Holy Spirit, men and women from different regions who spoke differently, probably believed differently, probably looked different, they were blessed by one message pertaining to the saving power of Jesus Christ. They were invited to give allegiance to one Christ who was prepared to cleanse them. They were initiated into one church that would represent the dwelling place of the redeemed and the newly assigned to participate in the life-changing mission of the church. They were galvanized by one moment of transformational encounter by the Holy Spirit. The day of Pentecost is a big deal, church. We ought to pay attention to what happened on the day of Pentecost. They became world changers, but they were first changed. They became world changers, but they were first changed themselves. They changed the world, but first they embraced lifestyle change. They were world changers, but they first adapted to change initiated by the Holy Spirit in their homes and at their jobs and in their neighborhoods. They were world changers, but they their hearts were changed by the life-altering message of Jesus. They changed the world, but they first realized that they were enabled by a power, the Holy Spirit, that was working inside all of them and working through all of them. And that Spirit is still working, church. The day of Pentecost wasn't something we fall away as, well, that happened one day and it, no. The Holy Spirit is still working, church. Amen. The Holy Spirit is still alive. Amen. The Holy Spirit is still active and still moving. It's not limited to that day back then and recorded in the book of Acts. When you said yes to Jesus and when you were baptized, the Holy Spirit initiated a work and a change in your life, and you were invited to become a world changer. That means that each and every one of you that have been baptized baptized, that have said yes to Jesus, you have the same spirit that filled that house. You have the same spirit that Peter prophesied about falling down on sons and daughters and prophesying. You have that same spirit that when you repented of your sins, that you were forgiven of those sins, you were baptized, and you received the gift of that same Holy Spirit. Everyone in here that has said yes to Jesus, you have the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit is about change. One person at a time, one home at a time, one school at a time, one neighborhood at a time, one community at a time, one city at a time, one state at a time, one country at a time, one continent at a time. God is able so we can change the world. My final words on this theme come in the form of two stories, two examples of how I believe that children, they're always the best teachers. For whatever reason, children are able to understand and to put into practice things that us adults, we just keep messing it up over and over again. I want you to watch two stories. I only wanted to show one video, and I stood going back and forth. I want to show this video. No, I'm going to show this one. No, I'm going to show this one. I'm just going to show both. I'm going to show both videos, and I want you to see that these two children, I think, embody the theme of what we've been saying, that no matter how small you are, how young you are, no matter what your circumstance is, you can make a difference. You can change the world. I want you to watch these two inspiring stories.
He's faster than a speeding stroller, more adorable than a wet kitten, and able to get a stranger's attention with a single courtesy.
Excuse me!
This is America's latest superhero.
Don't forget to show love.
And the only superhero with the power to feed the homeless.
Now, why do you do that?
You know what, Mr. C? It's just the right thing to do.
Is it?
Yes.
You want honey?
By day, Austin P. Ryan is a mild-mannered four-year-old from Birmingham, Alabama. But about once a week, he turns into this alter ego.
Would you like a sandwich?
A superhero set on feeding as many homeless people as possible.
Thank you.
What's your superhero name?
President Austin.
President Austin.
President Austin.
President Austin. That's his idea of what the president is supposed to do. I was like, buddy, you have no idea. But hey, I'm going along with it.
TJ says this all began when they were watching a TV show about pandas. It showed a mama panda abandoning a baby. TJ told his son the cub was now homeless.
He says, what's homeless? I said, well, it's when you don't have a home and sometimes you don't have mom or dad around.
I can tell what the follow-up question is going to be.
Yeah, are people homeless?
When I was a four-year-old, I didn't care about helping people.
I did.
I see.
Once Austin learned some people are homeless and some are even hungry, he launched this caped crusade. Told his mom and dad that he wanted all his allowance and money they would spend on toys to go toward chicken sandwiches instead.
Oh, thank you, baby.
You're welcome. Don't forget to show love.
After he gives out each sandwich,
yes,
he gives each person that same bit of advice.
Don't forget to show love.
Don't forget to show love, he tells them. And most do, immediately.
Why, thank you.
It warms my heart to see you.
It'll warm anyone's heart. Yeah, he really did, man.
Raymond Boss says this kid gives him hope.
That's where it starts.
Don't forget to show love.
Everyone who meets Austin leaves with hope. Which is why, with any luck, someday President Austin won't be a superhero anymore.
Being the homeless is the highlight of my life.
He'll just be a president.
All right, come on, Austin.
Steve Hartman, On the Road, in Birmingham, Alabama. It is every kid's worst nightmare, and six-year-old Jaden Hayes has lived it. Twice. First, he lost his dad when he was four. Then last month, his mom died unexpectedly in her sleep.
I tried to get her away. Couldn't.
Jaden is understandably heartbroken.
Anybody can die. Just anybody.
But there's another side to his grief. A side he first made public a few weeks ago when he told his aunt and now guardian, Barbara DeCola, that he was sick and tired of seeing everyone sad all the time. And he had a plan to fix it.
And that was the beginning of it. That's where the adventure began.
Jaden asked his Aunt Barbara to buy a bunch of little toys and bring them here to downtown Savannah, Georgia, near where he lives.
Thank you, sweetie.
So he could then...
You want me to have it?
Give them away.
Thank you, man.
What is it you're doing?
Well, I'm trying to make people smile. Rubber duckies, dinosaurs.
Because those are the things that make people smile.
Yeah.
And what happens to their face? Really?
Really.
See that man right there?
Jaden targets people who aren't already smiling and then turns their day around.
You made me smile.
He's gone out on four different occasions now, and he's always successful.
It's to make you smile.
Even if sometimes he doesn't get exactly the reaction he was hoping for. It is just so overwhelming to some people that a six-year-old orphan would give away a toy, expecting nothing in return except a smile. Of course, he is paid handsomely in hugs.
How are you?
And his aunt says these reactions have done wonders for Jaden.
It's like sheer joy came out of this child. And the more people that he made smile, the more this light showed.
Jaden says that's mostly true.
But I'm still sad that my mom died.
I bet you are.
This is by no means a fix. But in the smiles he's made so far, nearly 500 at last count, Jaden has clearly found a purpose.
I'm counting on it to be 33,000.
33,000?
Mm-hmm.
That's a pretty big goal.
Mm-hmm.
You think you can make that goal?
I think I can.
I think he just did. Steve Hartman on the road in Savannah, Georgia.
Oh, my goodness. Adults, why can't we get it? Children get it. They get it. And I don't know what overwhelmed you, or I can tell you what overwhelmed me in both of these stories. Number one, I saw a little African-American kid blessing white people and black people. He didn't say, oh, chicken for only the black people. I see a little white kid blessing white people and black, making a black woman. You never know how an act of kindness is going to just change someone's life. We have no clue what that woman was thinking about until he handed her a dinosaur or a spaceship or whatever. I started off this series by quoting from the children's book, The Little Engine That Could. Remember, I think I can, I think I can. And here I am going to end it with a quote from a little boy when the reporter says, do you think you can bless 33,000 people? He says, I think I can. What will it take for God's people to live in the land of can versus the wilderness of can't? What will it take for God's people to believe that God, who through the power at work within us, is able to accomplish abundantly more than all we could ever ask or imagine? What will it take for us to believe that? I hope that we're prompted and motivated by two small kids who are making a difference in spite of their size, in spite of their resources. My little superhero said, whatever you give me for allowance and whatever money you're going to buy for my toy, you know what type of commitment and dedication and sacrifice that takes? Isn't that the commitment and sacrifice that God has called us to be world changers? God is able, church. And we can change the world. One person at a time, one home at a time, one neighborhood at a time, one community at a time, one city at a time. Maybe it starts by just handing out sandwiches. Maybe it starts by handing out a toy. Maybe it starts by smiling at other people. Maybe it starts by not judging people because they wear a mask or don't wear a mask. Maybe it starts by saying, hey, you want to come to church with me? Hey, you want to join us at church online? Maybe it starts by saying, man, Wednesday nights, we're going to have a cookout, man. Why don't you come and have a hot dog and play some games? Maybe it starts by doing things in a neighborhood that, you know, we're always looking for other people to do. You see some trash on the ground? Maybe it starts by picking up the trash in your neighborhood. When you go to Kroger, you have the people who, for whatever reasons, finish their meal and put their garbage right in the parking spot where they park. Maybe it starts by us picking up the trash and taking it to the trash can. There's so many ways that we can be world changers just by doing little things, but it always starts with us being changed first. We're going to sing a song in just a second that is a reflection of the change that God has made in us. When the Holy Spirit hits our lives, there is no way that we could ever be the same again. It's just impossible. It's impossible for the Holy Spirit to enter into our lives, to enter into our church, to enter into our existence, and we remain the same. There's no way. We will never be the same again. When the Holy Spirit's fire comes in our lives, when we receive the Holy Spirit, when we say yes to the Holy Spirit, it will come in our lives like a mighty rushing wind. It will burn all the junk in our lives. It will burn all the bad attitudes. It will burn all the jacked up perspectives on life. It will clean house, and there is no way that we could ever be the same again once the Holy Spirit. I'm praying for a day of Pentecost, holy fire, rushing wind to come and sweep this place so that we will never be the same again, and so that we will exit these doors and that we will change this world. Forgive me if I'm optimistic. But I can't help it because the Holy Spirit is doing something in me. And I'm praying that it would do something in each and every one of us. As we sing this song, if there's a way that we can be a blessing to you through prayer, a blessing to you through touch, a blessing to you through conversation, we invite you to come. If you want to give your life today like the 3,000 folks did on the day of Pentecost that said yes to Jesus, we want to change our lives. We repent of our sins. Forgive us, Lord. We want to be baptized in the name of Jesus. We will do that for you as well. As we sing this song, if there's any way that we can serve you, come. And let's sing. Come as we sing. Let's stand up and let's sing this song.